So I want to welcome you to this first Bible study in the year 2025. I hope you have had a wonderful season of just refreshing and resting as we celebrated Christmas and as we have entered into the new year. And so today, as we meet, and as I was thinking about what we should be learning as we go through this prayer series, I wanted to encourage you as well as look at a prayer from a different perspective. So what happens with the prayer, or what the understanding of the prayer is, at least it was for me for a long time, is we go and reach out to God. And in most cases, it happens in the time of a need. It's almost like, you know, God is up there somewhere, heaven, sky, however you want to look at it, and that he's going about his business. He doesn't know what's really going on in our life, and we kind of pray to him to draw his attention to us and whatever that is that we need for that season. But when you look at the scripture, and perhaps the verse that I'm going to show you today, it speaks otherwise. And the verse that I have chosen, or the portion of scripture that I have chosen today, perhaps is not thought of as a prayer verse, but it is one that gives us a picture of how our God is our ever-present help. It is not that he does not know what is going on with us. It's not that he, he waits for us to go to him before he answers to us. Scripture tells us a different story. And so the text for today, our text for today, is Revelation chapter 3. Verse 20. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. A verse that you are very familiar with. This is a letter to the church of Laodicea. This is the last church when you look at the chronological order of the churches. As we have studied in the book of Revelation, when you look at seven churches, it speaks of the seven different ages of the churches. Laodicean church being the last age, meaning we are right now living in the age of Laodicea. We are the Laodicean church as we speak, a lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. This is the church that this letter is written to, and this verse, which is a famous verse, which most of us are familiar with it. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him." Some of your translation might say, "I will sup with him and he with me." This is an invitation. This is an invitation to pray. And that it's important to understand this, that it's not our prayer, it's not my prayer or your prayer which moves God to do something. That's not how it works. Matter of fact, it's completely opposite. Your prayer, our prayer, my prayer is a result of the moving of Jesus. It is Jesus who moves us because he's standing at the door knocking to get an access to our heart. And I hope as we move further along in this study, I make this very clear to you. So right off the bat, many times, I think the most of the times, we have a wrong understanding of a prayer. It is Jesus waiting at the door, knocking so you would let him in to whatever situation that you are into. It is not our prayer. It is Jesus who moves us to pray. Now, in this past week, I had an opportunity to attend a funeral. Attend a funeral of someone who was not a Christian, and the last ceremony or the funeral was done according to the rituals of the religion that they are in. And when you sit there, as I was sitting there, and I was listening to and watching all the activity that was unfolding before my eyes, you know, when you think of it from the context of prayer, it's one thing to pray. I think a lot of people, even the atheists, pray, right? When you get to that point in your life where you have nowhere to turn, and we are going to address that in a little while, you have nowhere to turn, you're going to turn to prayer. And especially when you are burying a loved one, when you are saying your last goodbye to a loved one, your natural inclination is to pray. But when we pray, it's important to understand who is on the other line, right? Your phone call is only completed is if there is a connection on the other line. Otherwise, it's just in the old days when we actually had corded phones, it's just a call that is going nowhere. There is no one on the other side to listen to it. That's not the God that we pray to. He is waiting to hear from us, because he cannot come into our heart until we let him in to our situation. Now, there are a couple of interesting facts in this verse that I want you to notice. And perhaps it has nothing to do with our current Bible study, but nonetheless, it's a very important point. Here, this letter is written to a church. So often, when you look at this verse, and when it says, behold. Now, let me explain a couple of things about the word behold. Behold, it literally means that you are looking with an expectation. Right? There are different kind of definition. I would say there are three different definition to the word look or see. You know, you can see something just in passing. If you are driving, you notice there are, if you're driving on a particular a highway or a freeway, you might notice the trees are there. Oh, it's lined with the pine trees or whatever the case might be. You have a general idea. Sometimes you just look at something in passing. Then, of course, then there is a second phase. If something piques your interest, you are going to give it a second look. You're going to observe it maybe in a little bit more detail. The word behold takes it further than that. It's almost as like watching something or looking at something, gazing at something with interest. You are observed in it. Think of it almost like if you see a sun going down on a horizon. You know, when you look at that sun going down, it's such a mesmerizing thing to do that you just stare at for a while. You wait until it completely disappears, and you stand in awe over there. And that's how this word behold is written over here. Behold, I stand. Almost what is being asked of us is, hey, look with an expectation. I am standing. The word I stand, okay, the original Greek root of that word literally means established or firm something up. Firm something up. So behold, I stand at the door and knock. And as I said, so often this verse is used to speak to the unbelievers. You know, that look, Jesus is waiting. If you let him in your heart, he's going to, you know, he's going to come in and you're going to have a salvation and so forth. But it is out of context because this is written to a church. It is not written to an unbeliever. This is written to a church. And look, it's not addressed to the entire church in general. It is a call, and it says, if anyone, so anyone who is in the Laodicean church, if anyone hears my voice. And the sad situation, as we know, that this is, although this is a church, Christ is sitting or standing outside. He is not part of the equation. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24 tells us that what we need to do is invite Jesus into our every situation. And so Isaiah chapter 65, 24 reads this way. It says, it shall come to pass that before they call, meaning before we even pray, I will answer. The answer is already there even before. And if you were part of the Isaiah Bible study and some of the scripture that we studied over there, even before we know that we are going to have a crisis, a trial in our life, God already has an answer prepared for that. And the illustration that I had used at that time is it was God who guided the Israelites to the Red Sea. They didn't even know that they were going to need the Red Sea to part. They had no idea they were going to need the Red Sea to be parted. They did not know they were going to be in that place. But God already had he's the one who directed them to the Red Sea so he can part the Red Sea. And so this verse says, it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. So often we have this misunderstanding that I'm praying and I'm praying and I'm praying and there is no answer. Is God even listening? And what God is saying is, while they are still speaking, I will hear. Sometimes God wants us to get into this place where we feel completely helpless, that we understand the only place we have to turn to is God. Think the way prayer works, and so often this is something very hard for us to grasp. But think of the air that you breathe in. Do you have to put any effort into breathing? You just breathe. There is air all around you. You breathe. The air does what it needs to do and does the job that it needs to do, and it comes out of your body. And that is exactly how we should think about prayer. Prayer does what it needs to do, and sometimes we just have no idea. We just need to be in the presence of God. We need to let Jesus in. And let Jesus do the work that needs to be done in our heart. And this is something very difficult for us to do. And as I was thinking about this Bible study, you know, I was kind of wondering how best to describe to you what it is to be like to let Jesus in to our heart. And how do we know that our prayers are being answered? Or how do we know that our prayers are being heard? And how do we know that our situation is going to change? And you know, I think the best way I can describe, in old days there were people who suffered with TB, and you know, one of the things that they had to do is sit out in the sun, and they just take in the sun and the healing would take place. But to bring it to the more recent time, nowadays if you read about what is healthy for you, what is good for you, and so forth, one of the vitamins that has been talked about a lot is vitamin D and the effect it has in your heart and some of your immune system and so forth. And the only way for us to get vitamin D is by being exposed to Son, S-U-N, right? You are just, if you are in the sun, you are, your body absorbs that sunlight and somehow it turns it into vitamin D. Now, I don't know how that happens. I don't think even the scientists really know how the whole process works. But one thing we do know, that it works. And it's exactly the same for us. When we let Jesus in, we don't know exactly how things work. But one thing you can be assured of, that it does work when we are in the presence, when we are completely surrendered to the Son, S-O-N. As I said, it is not our prayer which moves God to act. It is not our prayer which moves God to act. He is ready. He is at the door. He is knocking. He wants to come and fellowship with you. He wants to sup with you. What you need to do is you need to open the door. When we talk about knocking, right, it speaks from our perspective. You need to hear, right? You need to hear the knocking, that somebody's knocking. There is something being said to me. I need to pay attention. Somebody's at the door. Then once you hear that, there is an action that is required. You need to get up. You need to go to the door, and you need to open the door, and then you need to invite Jesus in. Jesus doesn't bully his way into your heart. You need to hear, and then there is work that is required of you after you hear. You let Jesus in. And once you let Jesus in, like the sun rays that create the vitamin D, Jesus Christ, the Son, will do the work that needs to be done in you spiritually. And that too requires faith. You know, when we get into the Gospel of John chapter 3, where we have that great conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus, Jesus tells Nicodemus the need to be born again. And as you continue reading that chapter, you know, we have an example of the event that took place in the Old Testament in the book of Numbers about the serpent being raised up by Moses, and how the Son of God was going to be raised up in a similar manner. That is the account of when God sent fiery serpents into the camp of the Israelites, and as they were dying, they cried out to the Lord, right? It's the crying. That's where the help, when you are completely helpless, in that condition, all you can do is cry out. So often we think that our prayer have to be these wonderful words. You know, all of us want to become Shakespeare's, right? We want to become these wonderful writers. We want to say these prayers, use the correct form, correct grammar, correct vocabulary, and we think somehow we are going to impress our way into God's heart. But so often, as it is with a little baby, right, all God needs to hear is the cry of our heart. A little infant, all that infant has to do is cry out, and the mother knows exactly what that baby needs. And mother has an ear for how urgent that need is. Is it just baby who's fussing and needs to be held, or is that something? Is there a danger? Is the baby hungry, or so forth? All she needs to hear is a cry of the baby. And our God, one who's greater than any mother on this earth, understands, hears the cry of a heart. That's all you have to do. And so in that wilderness, in that camp, because the Israelites cried out to the Father, he had Moses raise up this serpent, bronze serpent. Bronze always speaks of the judgment. And all they had to do is look at that serpent to be healed. They didn't have to crawl over there. They didn't have to be near to that place. There was no other requirement besides whenever you were dying, because one of the fiery serpent bit you, all you had to do is raise your eyes and look at the serpent. And it is no different for us. He is knocking at the door. He wants to come into your situation. All we need to do is look up to the one who hung on the cross for us. And he is ready to come and fellowship with us. Unfortunately, as we read here in the book of Revelation, some of us, I think most of us, have a Laodicean spirit. And if that's the case, there is a reason why I have picked this portion of scripture today. As we come into the new year, as tomorrow most of us for the first time go back to work, and our routine, our regular life starts. We may have made a lot of decisions. We perhaps have made a resolution. Perhaps we are happy to see 2024 go by. And we are looking forward to 2025 and what it's going to bring. But in order for that to happen, we need to invite Jesus into our situation. And if we have a Laodicean spirit, if we have a Laodicean spirit, we need to recognize it and then hear the knocking of Jesus and open the door. What does it mean to have a Laodicean spirit? There were three things in the church of Laodicea. They were lukewarm. They were lukewarm. They were neither hot nor cold. They were on a cruise control. They were such a cruise control. They didn't need anybody, not even Jesus. He was outside of the church. They were just on a cruise control, and some of us as Christians, we have been on a cruise control. You know, I have read my Bible for 5 times. I do my devotions every day. I go to church most Sunday. I tithe. You know, I know my eschatology. I know what rapture means, and I know where all the books of the Bibles are. We are plugged in on the fringe to the church, but we enjoy all the worldly things. We are lukewarm. We are lukewarm. And we need to pay attention. We need to pay attention because your relationship with Jesus is the most important relationship you have. Even the one above, the one you have with your spouse and the one that you have with your children. That is the most important relationship you have. And you should not be ignoring that because of all your other responsibilities. This church was lukewarm. This church was materialistic. You know, this was a very well-to-do church. They didn't need other people's resources. As we see, so a lot of the churches in America, they were well-to-do church, and they were their focus was on materialistic things. Do I need to say more about that when it comes to our Christian walk? How many of us are materialistic? How many of our attention? One of the reasons why we are lukewarm is because our chasing after the material things. Because I got to work. Because I got to do this. I want to enjoy this. I want to enjoy that. It is the love of the world that makes us lukewarm toward God. And the third thing, and perhaps the most important thing that the Laodicean church had is a dead spirituality. They were dead. As I said, they were a church in name only. They were doing everything, but there was no Jesus in it. Jesus was outside. So they were having a church, they were doing a church, okay? As a church, from our perspective, it was thriving, but they did not include Jesus. Yes, in their songs, in their hymns, in their prayer, and in their worship, they used the name Jesus, but that's where it stopped. It never penetrated the heart. Is that you today? Do you know how to speak Christianese? Do you know when to say hallelujah? Hey, pray for me. You on the fringe, you do all the stuff that makes you think that you are Christian. But that's how far it goes. You have not gone deeper with Jesus. You know, I'll tell you this. We just celebrated a new year. And how you celebrated a new year and who you celebrated a new year with speaks a lot about how close you are to Jesus. On that 31st night, as you were making plans for 31st, did you decide to spend that with other fellow believers? Praying, worshiping, welcoming in this a new year, asking for God's guidance and leading, thanking Him for His past faithfulness, another year where He protected you, provided for you, guided you? Or were you somewhere out in the world, opening up a champagne bottle and wine and enjoying with the friends just how the worldly people enjoy? Watching the ball drop. What was it that you were doing as the midnight came? That speaks of your spirit. Do you have a Laodicean spirit? Is Jesus, is church something you fit into your life? Or do you fit your life around Jesus and things that pretend to scripture? Is Jesus in your heart? Because in Laodicean church, Jesus was not in their heart. Lukewarm, materialistic, dead spiritually. Jesus desires an intimate relationship with them. Jesus desires an intimate relationship with you. And this is so important for us to remember. Your helplessness drives you to your knees. Sometimes God needs to lead us to that place where we have no place to turn to. When that diagnosis comes and God and the doctor says, hey, listen, we're going to try our best, and you have nowhere to turn to, that's when you hear the knocking. He has been waiting all along there, knocking on the door, asking you to let him into your situation. And when you let him into your situation, everything changes. Everything changes. So, as we welcome in this new year, where is in your life there is trouble? Is there something that you need to surrender to God? Have you been blaming whoever you can blame for whatever failures that you have? Perhaps you are looking for a spouse and you don't have one. Perhaps there is a diagnosis. Perhaps you feel you are not where you should be in your life as far as your career goes, as far as how your life should shape out. Perhaps you are looking at other people and saying, how come he has it so easy? Or how come she has it so easy? How come everything comes so easy to them? How come everything is handed over to them? Why am I struggling? Why am I always have to be the one who have to kind of take a back step? If these are the kind of things that you are struggling with, perhaps it's an emotional baggage that you have not completely dealt with in your life. And don't get me wrong, perhaps you did grow up in an abusive home. Perhaps you were in a place where your needs were not met. Whatever the case might be, Jesus is knocking at the door. And He wants you to open that door and allow Him to come in and sup with you. fellowship with you. And as you sit there and as you enjoy that meal, and if you look at that Middle Eastern tradition where the guest is honored, and as you enjoy that meal together and you are talking, you know, Jesus is going to bring those things to mind that needs to be changed, those things that need to be surrendered, those things that lay heavy in your heart. And he not only is going to show you what is wrong, what needs to change, he's going to show you what needs to be done. But not only that, he's going to give you the strength. He's going to equip you. He's going to make you able to do what you need to do as you sup with him. This is what prayer does for you. This is what prayer is. You are inviting Jesus into your situation. Behold, right? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone, not the whole church, he is calling out each and every one of us individually. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. Prayer life, as we have been learning, is so important. If you are feeling dry, if you are feeling lost, if you feel like you are not going anywhere, it is your prayer life that needs to change. You need to invite Jesus. And then you might say, hey, listen, I pray all the time. You know, I have my, you know, I listen to a lot of prayers. And sometimes I want to scream when I listen to some of the prayers, because it's an exact same prayers, prayer, no matter what the situation. You know, we all have our prayer memorized. I asked you this before. I'm going to ask you again today, and I will continue to ask you, when you pray next time, whenever that next time is, how about you stop? If you find yourself repeating the same prayer you have prayed for the last 5 years, stop and try to have a conversation with Jesus. And when you sit with him, you can have a conversation. It doesn't have to be this wonderful, wonderful presentation to him. It is just simply pouring your heart out to him. Because I can talk to him. I can tell him things that I cannot even tell my spouse. You can invite him into any situation. Just pray. Just pray. And so as we end this Bible study, I just want to remind you, you know, the world, when they celebrate a new year, they think, you know, the resolutions are made, and they think that everything is going to change suddenly with the turn of the calendar. And we all know another 10 days, 2 weeks, a month, and 2025 is going to start looking just like 2024. Same tendencies, same habits, same failures, same results, because we do not invite Jesus into our situations. And so our hope as a Christian is not in the new year when the calendar changes. Our hope is in one who makes everything new. Again, I say, our hope is not in a new year, but in the one who makes everything new. Revelation chapter 21, 5 says, then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. You want to change your circumstances? You want to see different results? You want to thrive in your life? Invite Jesus into your situation. Invite Jesus into your heart. Sup with him. And I promise you, when we welcome in, if God were to tarry, and if he does not bring us home this year, and if we are to celebrate another new year next year, I promise you, your life will be different. You will look back at 2025 with in amazement as at what God has done, because he makes all things new. Oh, Father, we come to you, Lord. We surrender our hearts to you, Lord. Lord, we hear your knocking. We want you to come in and sup with us, fellowship with us, Lord. Lord, show us those things that we are holding on to. Show us what we need to surrender to you, Lord. Make everything new. As your word says, Lord, when we are born again, when we accept you, when we accept you, Lord, that we become a new creature, Lord. Help us to walk in that newness, Lord. Let this year be the year where we honor you, where we serve you, Lord, and we live a life of obedience, Lord. I submit each and every person here into your hand. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.